camper or?
Oh, absolutely. So I put them on days where we don't have county board.
I keep looking at it, I was like, it's longer, my wife's working nights mostly now, and I look at it, it's like, oh, I have to go.
You missed a good one last night. Ivy Ford always puts out a great show, local blues singer and guitarist.
I listened to some of hers online, or it was her and then a hymn, this was the hymn.
All right, well, we have a quorum at 6 o'clock, so I'll go ahead and call the PDEC meeting to order on July 13th at 6 p.m. We can do roll call. Supervisor Bashaw. Supervisor Kubicki.
Present.
Supervisor Gashke.
Here.
And Supervisor Carroll are present, so four of us are present. I do have a communication from Supervisor Franco as excused. I don't recall if I got anything from Supervisor Berg or O'Day.
Supervisor Berg resigned his position, and that's the last I heard, so.
Okay, I did talk to Chairman Nudo, and he said that he was still working through that, so.
Sounds good.
So I don't, nothing official on that I know of. Supervisor O'Day, I think April must have, you know, corresponded with them,
yes,
or something, so I'll leave the official attendance to April when
perfect,
at 7 o'clock here. So first item then is the certification of compliance with Wisconsin Open Meetings Law.
We are in compliance.
All right. And number two is feature item, Kenosha County 4-H, brief history and future goals. Terry, you've got some updates on Alyssa.
Yes, so I was just sharing that Alyssa is ill, and I don't really have a backup 4-H presentation, so we have a couple of options here, which I defer to your judgment. I can give you an overview of 4-H and where we've come in the last year or so, maybe take a look at the website so you get a better idea, do a Q&A, or VJ has wisely suggested we use this time to show you, to take you out and show you the berry beds and maybe the signage at the Arboretum. Am I getting this right, BJ?
Just a quick tour of the demonstration gardens that we've been developing the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So it's up to us as board members to decide what we want to do in this time with Alyssa's absence. So.
I'm sorry, Alyssa's not feeling well, but a field trip sounds like a nice option, so.
Let's see what you guys have done the past 3 years. I'm all for that. I don't know about the other board members, but I'll speak for myself.
I've been in the garden all day long.
But did you get to eat blackberry, with black raspberries?
Oh, I picked a bowl of red raspberries.
Okay. Oh, nice.
And I picked a container of black raspberries.
So already.
I didn't hear about it. I didn't hear about it. I won't really have.
This is true. No evidence.
So, would the best thing to do to just run through the rest of the agenda then, and then head out for
so
a tour, or
sure,
seeing as we're all here?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, there was a youth and governance present,
yes,
too.
Yeah, that's okay.
Help me with the name, remember?
Kenzie,
right. Okay. I'll get better.
All right. Do we have Yig?
No,
it looks like
no.
Okay.
So
not with yours.
Yeah.
Okay. So, should we just burn through the other updates and then take the tour? Okay.
That's wise.
So, Erica, youth and governance, is there any updates on that? It's item number three. Or?
So, as Chairman Caro is aware, we had an awesome bus tour a couple of weeks ago, as well as Kansas were. hopefully they share my opinion. So we did the annual Youth and Governance bus tour. So as you are all aware, the new Youth and Governance cohort started at the second meeting in May. And one of the first things that we do is the last Wednesday in June every year is take the bus tour of all the county departments. So we started here at KCC and went to the job center and then went downtown. And the youth were able to hear from all the department heads or representative of the department on what the departments do. So I got really good feedback at the end of the tour, you know, by the youth, and it seems, yeah, to have been an awesome day. So now we are about 2 months into the 22-23 cohort's tenure, so they should have attended one or two meetings, and from our conversation on the bus tour, it sounds like things are going well, and youth are feeling pretty comfortable, yeah, speaking up and participating. A lot of new, you know, mentors and chairs and supervisors in general this year. So it's been exciting just to kind of bring everybody up to speed and make sure that youth voice is being heard. So that's youth and governance. I can go into my other programs as well. Youth as resources, or no?
Curious if the feedback from the youth and for the field
trip
seemed like the most talkative part of the field trip.
Yeah.
Where they ask the most questions? Medical examiner's office.
Oh, yeah.
That's
funny.
Did anybody sit on the table?
Yeah, I don't think that was allowed. Yeah, they're definitely, yeah, very interested in that. I mean, if you have any highlights you want to share or thoughts?
Yeah, it was good, kind of seeing all the different departments, obviously, and then getting to talk to the county executive was kind of cool. She has a cool story.
Sure.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay. Great. Yeah, so overall, vast majority strongly agrees for all the different presentations. I had them fill this out on the bus, so it's a little bit bumpy. But they really especially enjoyed kind of learning about the department's respective to the committees that they're serving on. That's what I was hearing a lot when I talked to people. And yeah, the county executive spent quite a long time with the youth talking to them and, you know, a day in the life and things like that. And definitely as we got later in the day, I think people were speaking up a little bit more. The courthouse was really interesting to hear from the DA's office. Yeah, I got a lot of feedback that was good. And I got mixed reviews about some youth really like the, like, woohoo, bam, 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 we're going all day, we're going all over, we're hearing a little bit, and some kind of are a little bit like, wow, that was a lot to take in, and, you know, wanted to go in a little bit more in depth. So I've been kind of reflecting on that and figuring out, you know, what updates we might make next year and how to, you know, continue to make it the most, yeah, enjoyable experience.
Yeah.
So how much time did you spend with each vision head or their designee?
Yeah, so it depended on the department and what the division head felt that they needed, but it was between like 15 and 30 minutes with every division head.
And some people felt that was not enough time with 30 minutes? Is that what you're saying? Some of the commentary?
Some of the youth, not that they felt that it wasn't enough time, but just that it was just so much information to take in one day. So it's obviously the youth get to learn so much more about all the departments that are on, you know, that work with their committees, and ideally get to go on a lot more in-depth tours of departments related to their committee. But this is just a chance for all of them to get to know everything. But I do know... I've kind of been thinking of different ideas for ways to get more
well,
depth.
That's how you get ideas, through feedback.
Yeah, exactly.
Most people actually went through this call, so it's worth that you're compiling all that and taking an interest in what they have to say. And it's not just us, it's just we, it's us together.
Yeah.
Collectively working towards this program. Interacting county government, being a part of it. I think it's important what you're doing. That's great.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
I appreciate it. Yeah, our philosophy with the Positive Youth Development Institute is all about youth leadership and youth voice. And then, as with all of Extension's work, research and evaluation is super important. So every component of the program is, you know, we get feedback and get ideas. And the next few weeks we'll be having a little bit of a more informal meeting with all the youth to talk to them about how things are going and what ideas they have and, you know, what they might like to learn more about throughout the year. So we might be able to provide a couple additional, you know, experiences for them based on what they're interested in. Yeah.
So they were a little quiet, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, on, and Supervisor Zach Stock and I both went on the tour,
yes.
and he was, Supervisor Stock had actually asked a lot of good questions, and more along the lines of individual people, like, what was your path? How did you get here? What's, you know, what's your interest? You know, different, to start a little conversation, and I thought that was real helpful to kind of get to know the people a little bit more, not just, here's the department, here's the
yes.
position, here's
mm-hmm.
what's going on, because as you're a youth, you're like, well, what did you do to get here? How did you, what was your path? So I thought that that added another dimension to it, so, and probably helps
yeah.
you, as a younger person, formulate, hey, how could I see myself doing something like mm-hmm. this? And, although
yeah.
most of them couldn't, even the medical examiner is like, she's like, well, I didn't really plan on this path, but, you know, kind of got here, you know. So
right, that's
like,
kind
you
of everyone's
really
answer.
Inspires a young person to do something like that, but, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, asking some pointed questions, I thought, or maybe some canned questions to start, like icebreakers or conversation starters might be helpful, because it seems like it's hard to get a group of students who don't necessarily, aren't all comfortable amongst themselves. They've got little groups, I noticed, like the central kids
mm-hmm.
kind of hung out with the central kids and the other, you know.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
how
it
starts.
It's kind of like they all hung out together during the day because they kind of had a connection, they knew each other. And by the end of the day, I think people were, you know, talking more and more, but I think that's the purpose of it as well, is to get to know the people.
Yeah, from all around
better.
The county.
So.
Yeah. Definitely, and it's really cool for me to see, like, the you know, a couple of youth that are interested in engineering kind of hanging back to talk to Clements a little bit more, or some of the youth that are thinking that maybe I want to go to law school someday, like talking to Joe Cardamone or Carly or whoever they had a chance, and it's really cool to see the specific interests, you know, come out, and especially in relation to the committees they're working on, too, so. Yeah.
Well, the chances of them actually reaching out or talking to them after the tour will probably be a whole lot higher as well when you have that little bit of a connection, because then you're like, hey, okay, you know, you understand that there's a connect, like, what was her name, Carly, the assistant DA,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, she
yeah.
was like, well, actually, you know, I went to this school or that school and I played hockey and this and that, and
mm-hmm.
I was like, well, there was a kid that played hockey, you know, so it's kind of like you get those instant connections
true.
Where you can actually start to talk to somebody about it, and it's not just, hey, here's what I do in my department day in, day and this is what happens.
Yeah. Cool. Any other questions or feedback on that?
So I'll ask the youth, how did you feel about your time allocation? It feels too much information?
It definitely
information?
Was a lot of information, but I think doing it in one day was better than separate days. But overall, it was pretty good.
We need to get to the
Kemper
Center, though.
Always, doors are always open. 8:30 to 4:30, I'm there every day. And nights and weekends.
Right.
Take it back.
Cool.
So next time you're going to have an overnight stay at the detention center?
They did actually, they were invited to a tour of the detention center, limited tour, last week. Yeah, yeah,
right,
so you were on there. So I was really encouraged by that because the detention center is part of Racine's youth and governance program. They always go to the detention center, and the more opportunities for youth to see county government in action and actually, you know, how it works, the better. So I was very, very excited that they were offered that opportunity, and I hope that can become a permanent, you know, opportunity, and we'll let them all know, you know, next year in advance. And yeah. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to talk, get their reflections on that experience yet, the ones who were able to go. But I'm excited to see what they thought.
That was a good group last week.
Great.
It was 6 or 8 of them.
Yeah.
Had a nice tour, so I saw two different sections of, you know, kind of the lower level, and then they also saw the lockup, so everybody in their rooms. But we put them to work in the kitchen. They had cookies. It was okay.
Right. Cool. Yeah, so the other I think I'll move on to my other updates, if that's good. Cool.
Okay, yep.
So speaking of career paths, we launched our NIA, Pathways and Purpose for the Future program, a new program for extension that's in Kenosha, Rock, and Waukesha counties, in partnership with another university in North Carolina, where youth are connecting from all around the two states, and learning about really learning through doing, as is with the 4-H motto and philosophy, learning through doing about different careers and then college opportunities. So it's a program for middle school and high schoolers. We're partnered with the Kenosha Public Library, so we started with a joint trip to a business incubator in Milwaukee in April, and since then the youth have been meeting every week at the library and hearing, doing activities and workshops with different small business owners or other community leaders, and kind of exploring their ideas for what they want to do in the future. So we're excited to have a Use Your Voice title, you know, tentative title.
What's the name of the program?
It's called NIA, Pathways and Purpose for the Future.
How do you spell that?
N-I-A. It's a Swahili word that means purpose. Okay. And it's federally funded from the CIFAR program. So it's completely, you know, funded through that entity.
How many do you recall right offhand, Erica, the allocation of dollars to Kenosha County programs, or would we have to dig?
I'd have
that?
To look okay. at the exact amount. Yeah. I'm not sure.
But that's so many. That's a revenue, or that's a resource that is not is separate from county expenses. We don't pay.
So did you reach out to schools or high schools to gather interest, or is that how you do that? Or?
Yeah. So I we launched in April, and then around that time I started going to the different middle schools and high schools and presenting to different classrooms, going to lunches, talking to youth about the opportunity and if they'd like to learn about starting their own business or learn about interview skills or get support applying for college. And a lot of youth are really interested. Since it's at the Kenosha Public Library, we're really focusing on Lance and Tremper and Lincoln, and then the schools that are closest. But I also went to Reuther and a few other schools. And then I've been really connected with the KUSD counselors and speaking to the counselors to help identify what youth they think would be interested. So I've met with all the counselors at once in middle school and high school, and then kind of found a couple champions for the program that I've been able to talk to more and have taken me around the school and introduced me to youth. And then just bringing in other community partners in addition to the library, like Building Our Future, KUSD's AYI initiative, and just kind of finding different opportunities to connect with youth and parents.
So is that basically you're the head of this, and you're trying to get community partners to work with that, and you've reached out to businesses too then as well, or
Yeah, so it's a... The community partner that signed on when the grant was applied for 2 years ago was the Kenosha Public Library. So they are firmly, you know, the partner with the program where we host the programming. They, you know, do a lot of the recruiting and advertising and providing their space and their technology and books and all the other, you know, library resources. And then bringing in other community partners to help bring in more youth, help with programming and help kind of showcase all the ways in which youth can live a really fruitful, successful, fulfilling life here in Kenosha as a young professional or student. So every week we've had different people come in. We had a youth who was in youth and governance last year who started her own business as a young person. So she came in and talked to the other youth about her experience. We had Alvin Owens. He's a barber and runs a lot of really incredible youth youth initiatives. He came in and did kind of a motivational speech with them and talked to them about kind of broadening their horizons and their ideas. So it's just a different, so far that's been the programming, that we have a different partner come in each week to lead an activity. And then this year's been the pilot year, so we've kind of been exploring what works, what doesn't, and what you know, youth would like, because the idea is that it is to be very youth-led. So once the youth, we've gotten a good group of maybe 6 youth that have been coming consistently, and we're starting to have those conversations with them about who do you want to hear from, what, you know, support do you need, and kind of work together with the knowledge of extension, resources of extension, and the partners, as well as the, you know, interests and knowledge of the students. Yeah. So that's exciting. And then Youth as Resources, they also, the other program, we're in partnership with United Way, where youth are a grant-giving board that gives out $5,000 from United Way to service projects designed by other youth, K through 12. They also got oriented the night before Youth in Governance, so that was a very busy week for me. And they, after they get their orientation and get appointed to their positions, because the board does follow Robert's rules, and, you know, it's a very, you know, official, real board, which is a really incredible component of the program. They're not just a mock this or that. They're actually, they have funding, they carry out projects, and it's pretty incredible to be a part of. They kind of have the summer off, and then they start in September with their monthly meetings. So that's the big things.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
BJ, how long do you think the tour's gonna be?
As long as you want.
Okay, I'm just trying to.
Yeah, sorry, talked a lot.
You have extension educator program updates. I don't know if we can.
Sure.
Yeah. Looks like we just have BJ. So.
Right. I'm going to give a few, but BJ is live and also going to give us a tour. So BJ, you want to go ahead with your program?
I'll make it very short. Our county has been badly hit with spongy moth infestation, which is formerly called gypsy moth. So the western part of the county, including Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee, south part of Milwaukee, all the way to Rockford, Walworth counties, has a huge infestation of spongy moth caterpillars. They're very voracious this year. They've been devastating many oak trees, maple trees. They've been like chewing monsters right now. So people are using burlaps actually to try to trap them and soak them in a soapy water. That's the normal recommendations. A week ago, I got an inquiry from one of the Kenosha County residents. They're already seeing, actually, the spongy moth adults laying the egg masses. Usually, they start laying the eggs in August. So it's pretty early, actually, to see them, the egg masses right now, and trying to scrap them, actually. So this is very interesting. In the last decade, we never had this kind of infestation. So people are asking, you know, is the county going to do anything? Are the DNR going to do anything, actually, to control this infestation? In the past 10, 12 years ago, the DNR had a spray program where they used to hire a third-party contractor to go around and spray for it. But last 10, 12 years, you know, we didn't have that infestation, so they didn't actually hire them. So who knows what's going to be the future for that, you know, so that's a big news. The second one is the last year's drought has severely impacted a lot of trees in our county area, especially oak trees, birch trees. So many people are seeing a lot of dieback on those branches and stuff, wondering, you know, are those going to come back alive or not, or still dead? What's going on with those things? Even our county parks department director asked me to investigate one of the parks and see what's happening up with the oak trees in one of the park areas as well, too. So I'm seeing quite a bit of catastrophe of the last year's drought, causing the decline in many of the trees in our county area. In the Tri-County area, the number of calls have been generally up this year. On an average per day, I'm usually getting about 8 to 10 inquiries. On only a couple of days, we have master gardeners. The rest of the days, I'm the one filling all those things.
Another bigger program that I'm actually involved is working with the Wisconsin Correctional Institute in Sturdivant area. And we got about like 8 to 10 inmates. I've been doing the gardening program weekly once with them. And the good news is that the Green Industry Association, there are two associations in the southeast part of Wisconsin, they want to partner with us in this program so that they can take advantage of the work release type of program, so to help some of those labor demands they're having, actually. So they are actually trying to help me out in developing a curriculum so it can become a continuous program where it could be a win-win situation, both for the inmates as well as for the green industry. So we are hoping by in 2023, we will launch this program officially as a certificate program for the inmates. And the captain has said that he's going to guarantee me that he's going to make it more statewide so we can get some inmates all around the state of Wisconsin to transfer for a 6 to 8 months type of program in Sturdivant area. So it's a, looking forward to that. So just pretty much.
Okay. I will give updates for Amy Greil, community development educator.
Sure.
Who is ill today? Yes, so Amy provided real colors to 34 Kenosha County economic support, child support staff in June. Farm to food bank feasibility study has been launched, which has initiated a comprehensive review of relevant literature coupled with assessment of comparable models in other states. Surveying, interviewing of regional organizational partners to Kenosha County Food Bank as informants to Amy's research publishing project created the context for intensive qualitative data analysis that is now underway with the support of Extension state specialists. Preparations, promotion slash recruitment for summer nonprofit peer learning series are in the final stages before next week's launch. There are 14 nonprofit leaders registered, including 3 from the Kenosha Community Health Center. Currently, Amy's engaging in the City of Kenosha Public Museum's education to support community engagement process. She and Kenosha KPM, Kenosha Public Market, or KPM, not sure, KPM leadership, I think, intends to do as part of the organizational strategic plan. I could try to answer questions if you have them, or I can get back to you with those answers.
I'm curious about the farm to pantry or farm to distribution.
Right.
For, does it have to be certified farmers or call it large crop home growers?
Sure. Good question, and I can get more information from Amy. This is a newer initiative. This is a grant that Amy's working on collaboratively with a couple of folks in the state, including Lindsay Day Farnsworth, who is with the, I thought with the Ag, but maybe she's in a different institute. It's hard, as I learned, many parts to keep it all straight, but at any rate, this is to study the way we can better connect local farms with food pantries when there's overproduction, when there are crises like that would benefit everybody, to capture those, to improve our flexibility and our response times and our ability. So she's kind of leading the research for the entire state.
Right.
Yeah, for this study. And we anticipate lots of benefits for Kenosha County from that.
Yeah, you know, talking to John Holloway over in Paris,
good.
He's very excited about
good.
That type of initiative as well. So
wonderful.
Small farm,
yeah,
having that potential.
Great.
I'm not a farmer, but I have plenty of excess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And let's see. Do I have Mary updates? I do. Mary completed 2 successful mental health first aid trainings in June. One for general community members here at the Kenosha County Center and one for Roundy's staff, mostly their senior staff and safety team. She started working with the youth in the ACE program, Alternatives to Correction Education Program. So that is housed in Racine County, however, takes youth from the Kenosha area to avoid them being shipped away. So she's beginning a community health project there. This project will continue into 2023 as part of the Well Connected Communities grant. In the next month, Mary will start programming with two local sites under the umbrella of Mercy Housing, which has the senior residences, Saxony Manor, and I forget the name of the other one here in Kenosha County. But this is subsidized housing for senior citizens. So okay. Those are Mary's. And that's all I have for educator updates. I can jump right into my updates whenever you're ready.
Sounds fine to me.
Okay. Sounds good. The last step before posting our ag position is approval of the dean's leadership team. That should happen tomorrow. It will be approved. It's sort of a formality that needs to be checked off before we post any positions. Again, if anyone has interest in serving on the hiring committee, please let us know. That is Heidi Johnson, the institute director, and usually one other educator, myself, and then committee members or community members as you all are available. So happy to have you join us. It's a few hours and a little bit of homework of ranking candidates on a rubric, but yeah, we're happy to have that input. As a reminder, this will be the direct market vegetable educator, whose job will be to help smaller farms reduce the supply chain to get their product to market, is the focus. And we'll still use that person to access specialists that are in more of a regionalized model, right?
Do you have the position advertised currently, or is it still waiting the final approval?
Waiting for posting.
Okay.
Yeah. So
when it does get posted, I'm just curious to read the position and understand more about it.
Yes, and I can send the position description as well.
If you could, yeah, that'd be good.
Yep. Just make a note so I don't miss that. Alrighty, and then administratively, what's happening, just hired the Racine County 4-H position, so have been onboarding that position. Oh, by the way, that ag position is a co-funded position, so Kenosha County pays for a 0.5 allocation. Racine County also pays for a 0.5.
Okay.
So back to my updates administratively. Let's see, what am I up to? Have started our midpoint performance reviews. I have 17 of those due by mid-August, so that's a good thing. Plans of work for educators are in process. So these are for the next calendar year, and we'll be sharing those for your review as soon as they're complete. These are largely guided by both local needs, so needs assessments that are done for Kenosha County, as well as from the direction of institute directors and program managers at the state level. So it's definitely several eyes on our educators' plans of work, and we look forward to your input as well. And last but not least, I have comments from the Local Government Education Center. Oh, and also, I will share, we are in process with our 2021 annual report. You might say, but Terry, it's July. Why are you just now getting us the 2021 report? Which was always a mystery to me until I got in this role. And there's just a lot of things in the beginning of the year that make that not work well, right, for us, including waiting for some evaluations from the state, including a lot of our regular workflow schedules, like performance reviews, etc. So that's what I know, and that's all I have.
I 2021 report, what is said that you're working on that currently?
Yes. Yes. So that's an overview of all of our program areas, the numbers of learners, teaching events, major projects that they completed during that calendar year. It shares more information about funding sources. I believe the former reports are linked on the website. Not 100% sure. I'll have to double check that. But
do you have another one?
So is that something that?
Yeah, sorry, Kenzie.
When do you anticipate it to be done? Is it just going to be posted online or what?
No, we usually print a few of those copies, and although that's a little spendy, so we've kind of trimmed some of that lately. But it is a great sort of overview for people, especially folks who don't know what all Extension does, which is...
And when you're anticipating that?
By the end of July.
Okay. Just curious. I don't know. This is my first time going through this process, so I'm asking questions.
For sure. And those are good questions, and it's my first year, so I don't always know either. And then I think they're normally done by the beginning of July, but what I've seen, well, they sort of intersect with plans of work. We usually share our plans of work in July, but those were delayed through institutes. So my guess is that pushes back our annual report a little bit, too. We're very entrenched in our cycles, but big ships don't turn quickly sometimes, right?
Slow to the rudder, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything else. If we want to squeeze in a quick tour, we certainly can.
Great.
So we can be back here a few minutes before 7 to talk about zoning and comprehensive plan amendments.
Perfect. From our prairie, right, PJ?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know. April was saying she had water stuff going on, so.
My family enjoyed water. Garden club tour this past weekend.
Oh, okay.
So we usually have a family tradition the last couple of years.
How are things going?
The last couple of years. So it's nice to do that again.
Yeah.
What do you want?
population to the statewide. So hopefully by next year, we will get this garden back to work. Speaking of the dwarf garden, do anyone know how they propagate, how they collect the dwarf plants? So many breeders, plant breeders, or done the hot spot to collect all these dwarf conifers is going to the cemetery. And when they have all these old trees in the cemetery, one branch or one particular tree may have a one shoot, which is very dwarf and compact. They clip them up, and then they propagate in the nursery. And once they propagate in the nursery, then they can be able to multiply it vegetatively. So that's how many other plant breeders, you know, they are like hunters. They go around to the cemeteries and collect all these things.
Interesting.
Cool.
Okay.
But all them collect that to the other things.
Yeah, right. <there. laughs>
After the last year's drought, you can see the bush trees have all the dead shoots and everything right up here. So last year's drought has impacted quite a bit on all these things.
Like a plant grows it.
Yeah. But it's going to get root bound, actually. Every year I have to plant them in a bigger container. But I just want to test it out and see. And here we have a blueberry collection here in the next of the feedland. This is the first time we are trying it in a raised bed. We used to grow them in a trenches, now in a raised bed. The advantage is that in growing them in a raised bed is probably better drainage. Considering the soil being so clay here, actually, you know, whether the water's going to percolate inside or not. So you can see actually it's growing really well. We don't have any chlorotic issues related to pH, so I'm hoping actually in the next few years we'll start producing some fruits. If it does, it's going to be a big success because there are a lot of small fruit growers like Thompson Nursery, Thompson Orchards over there. They may also be able to propagate and grow them actually in a raised bed situation. So, homeowners have tried with blackberries and often ended up in failure. The reason is the blackberries are not fully hardy. They're cultivated blackberries. You might find that wild blackberries. Say one of the variety, actually it's not a variety, I would say, it's actually one of the species, a hybrid of blackberry and a raspberry. It's called poisonberry. And it's amazing actually. It is hardy, super hardy for Wisconsin. It is thornless and actually the fruit tastes like a blackberry. So you can see one of them unripe fruit right up here. But again, it's very thornless, it can crawl. So I'm really impressed, actually, on seeing this poisonberry. So,
would you put them like I've seen blackberries where they and I just built one a trellis because there's a I had a lot of blackberries growing at my place because they were there for years.
Nice.
And so, would you put them up on a trellis then?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So you need to train them. So this is situation, you can see actually they're all, you know, crawling out in the lawn. So ideally I would like to have a trellis right up here and see how it's going to go. Absolutely.
Are they like blackberries though, where you got the second year plant is what they
actually
grow
in fact I since it's been creeping up quite a bit, I cut them down quite a bit early in the springtime and regrows back again, and you can see actually it produces the fruit even in the very current season cane.
Okay.
Unlike blackberries, you know, you tend to produce in only the second year cane. This one, even in the very first year of cane, you can see the fruit coming up.
Yeah.
Here.
Okay.
See, I mean, if not, I can't able to manage it. You know, if you can, just like a regular blackberries, you know, if you let them grow, then probably it's hard to contain them. And so we have a different collection of currants over here. This is a black currant. It's a type of a black currant called Crandall. It is sweet in taste, so I planted this here. We have a red currant here. You can see some fruit. Feel free to harvest them, actually. So it's a bit sour in taste, but it's really good, actually. You can put it in a wine or a beer, you know, you can have them. Please be free to grab and taste it if you like.
Morning glories with it here.
Right. Yeah.
Those are
so invasive. Right.
Oh. It came along with the soil, but we bought it actually, so it's very notorious.
Yep,
so.
And you can't get rid of the roots. So,
So you have a typical raspberry soil here. And here
on those all week long.
They choke out the plants though, if you don't get them.
Be free to harvest them. Watch out for the thorns.
Yeah.
Some of them are ripe. Be free to look for them.
Oh, the ripe ones. Yeah. V BJ suckered me into picking like 2 gallon size baggies of these when they weren't, thank you, when they weren't ripe. But I have a plan. I've processed them and they're waiting for me to have more hours in the day, and I'll bring a treat in with our own local gooseberries.
What? Yeah, just how you guys do the meeting.
Dinner.
Come on.
It's about dinner.
Hey, you know.
The high point. Now you're going to the low point. Coming inside. We'll see you in a little bit.
All right, Andy. Thank you.
The gooseberries. Well,
yeah, the gooseberries and whipped cream would be okay inside.
A little cake, maybe, Andy. I don't know. We're missing something. Mine
gooseberries are very rich in vitamin C here. This is a black raspberry here, so be free to call it soon.
I'm going to try this one.
Get some black raspberry here.
Oh, yeah. We have tons of wild ones over by my mom's place. These small ones that are about a third of this size. The only thing about these is the seed.
Delicious, so vibrant. Oh man.
So, this is a black raspberry. That is actually a blackberry here. This particular one is called Primark. So, this is like a fall bearing raspberry where you cut them down to the ground. Back and probably in late summer it starts producing the flowers. So your typical blackberries, you know, you don't cut them actually back to the ground. Only the second year canes, after you're done with the harvesting, you cut them right. But this Primark, you can cut them down and you can overwinter it easily. But the problem last year I found is that because of the drought, I almost lost it. But suddenly it came back again in late summer, late spring. So I'm a bit surprised. And these two are also, blackberries too. It's called a shortcakes one. And they're supposed to be for container one. You can start to see the flower production right up now. So we planted it last year. Hopefully, before fall, it starts producing some fruit. It's a good learning experience, when you try to grow them, then you can learn quite a bit about them, so that's the fun of that.
Exploring stuff for my house, and I was looking at gooseberries, so I'm glad to see that you had one here.
That might be a good candidate.
Absolutely. I can tell you exactly the variety name. It's called Hinomaki Yellow, this one. If you want, you shoot me an email.
Sure, I will.
Okay. It's really very vigorous in production. Even last year, we planted only last year. Immediately the first year, it started producing. This year, we had a copious amount of fruit. I think, she got a big ball.
Yeah, 2 chock full gallon baggies, VJ, after I picked all those gooseberries. And I processed some into like gel cubes for pastry. Incredibly, just like, well, right, instead of the Sour Patch stuff, right? And so, I did the challenge because those have a ton of antioxidants and, suckered my kiddos into trying some, but it's really, to me, lovely like rhubarb, right? And they're so good when you mix them with a little slightly sweeter berry, so I did make a crisp with mostly the gooseberries. A handful of blueberries, a handful of strawberries, plenty of sugar, but wow, it was delicious.
Sounds good. Sugar makes the world go
round. It sure does. Thank you, VJ.
You're welcome.
That was great. That was way better than me talking about a website.
I think that door is locked.
Yeah, this side. Okay, you got your badge?
Thank you, Erica. Good night.
Bye, Erica. Thank you. think we have to use this next door up here, Supervisor Carroll, to the right, and
the exit here.
The other one's locked, or should be. Should check it. Thank you. Yeah. Good job. Thank
you. Saw you weeding out there. You just couldn't help yourself.
Huh? Yeah. Right. I know. If I'm standing there, I'm gonna weed. It's all those years in hospitality. If you can lean, you can clean. And if you're not busy, you better look busy. Right?
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, you all.
Thank you.
Have a good month, and we'll see you soon.
Sounds good.
All right.